The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
The Bill Myers Show, 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD.
Is homeownership not all it is cracked up to be? Now, I know if I were to talk to Brad Bennington, the Builders Association of Southern Oregon, he would probably say, no, it's perfectly okay. And then other people like Jack Ryan, who is the co-founder of Rex, the digital alternative to the realtor, has a different way of looking at this. And by the way, Rex, I guess, is one of the groups that was involved in that big lawsuit or that fight that the Department of Justice was doing with the National Association of Realtors. You know, you remember that that story here recently. We were talking about that. And I've had some realtors that actually wanted to come on and talk about their point of view on that. But Jack has also partnered up with Forbes and Real Clear Politics' John Tamney, and they have written a book, Bringing Adam Smith into the American Home, A Case Against Home Ownership. Jack, it's a pleasure having you on, and this is certainly cutting against the conventional wisdom. And so anybody that does that, I'm willing to talk. What's going on with you this morning, sir? Welcome.
Thank you, Billy. Thank you very much. It is against the conventional wisdom. I will say this. Everyone's hectored like the 11th commandment in life is to own a home.
Right.
And that's not necessarily true. It's kind of like owning a car. You can own a car, or you can take a long-term lease, or you can rent a car in a short-term, or Uber around. But it's not like owning a car is something that you should definitely aspire to for your entire life. And for whatever reason, well, I can tell you the reasons, people keep being told that to own a home is what they ought to do. Not true.
Okay.
It's really a rent versus buy decision, like you do anything else in the world. Should I buy it? Should I rent it? Should I, you know, just take a short-term lease on it? So that's what we're trying to say is look at this objectively and don't believe the hype that you have to own your own home.
All right. And could there be a way of breaking this down into different stages of life? Because, you know, part of the book here, A Case Against Home Ownership, you're talking about like, you know, for young people needing more mobility at a certain amount of time. I could see that. I can understand that. Maybe you could explain a bit of that, the necessity of being a little footloose and fancy free, as it were.
You know, that's a really good question because, and I hope I have credibility in saying this, because our company Rex is a residential real estate agent company, so we make money by people buying and selling homes.
Right.
So I'm talking against my own interest here, but it really depends on the individual. So, for instance, if you're a young person who's in Medford, or you know, growing up there, but thinks they may want to move away, or people want to move into Medford, maybe you shouldn't own a home. You know, these real estate commissions are so high, unless we are able to fix it, and that's the lawsuit you were talking about before on your show and in an earlier show. You know, you've got to own the home for 2 or 3 years before you can even make up for those real estate commissions. And then you're taking care of this home, and a lot of us are good at being radio show hosts, mm-hmm. but aren't really good necessarily at being carpenters, plumbers, electricians, et cetera.
And I'm certainly not good at being a landscaper. Look at my yard, okay? I'll give you that.
Okay. Yes, exactly. So really, this is the idea of Adam Smith, which sounds very kind of theoretical. He was this 17th century writer who said that, hey, everyone should do what they're best at. But should we really have, you know, radio talk show hosts are really good at that, landscaping their own lawn? That's probably not your best and highest use. And so it's a good idea to own a home if you'll be in a certain city for a long time, and maybe you're good at some of those things. But if you aren't, maybe it's better to rent a home as opposed to own it, and then take your equity and put it in the stock market or other things rather than in real estate in Oregon.
Okay. Yeah, because the one thing about real estate is that it's not particularly liquid. I mean, it can be. You can liquidate it, or, you know, liquefy it, so to speak, but you're not going to necessarily do it quickly. If you have to do it quickly, then you end up a lot of times losing. Now, the one thing I was kind of wondering, you know, when you have people that are involved in real estate that are saying, yeah, maybe you shouldn't buy a house, and you write a book about this, Jack, I start wondering, okay, are you just one of these guys who behind the scenes is actually part of the World Economic Forum, you know, you will own nothing and be happy kind of thing, you know, the Klaus Schwab kind of things? Because honestly, no. when you look at those agendas, everyone will own some home, whether it is you know, owning it, you know, through your through the standard purchase process, or Larry Fink over at BlackRock owns it and then rents it to you for your entire life, you know, that kind of thing. So when is it a good idea to buy then, and when is it a good idea to not buy? Because I get concerned. I look at what I'm able to do right now. I have a $1,600 a month home payment now locked in for 30, $1,600 total for everything, right? I know taxes are going to go up, but the nut's not going to go up on the actual house right now. I look at that as money saved right now in our town. Where am I wrong?
You may very well. Well, it depends. You know, in some places like Austin, Texas, like don't buy a home right now because the prices are coming down. And so, you know, if you follow this conventional wisdom, you ought to own a home. Just like stocks or anything else. Well, when, you know, when the in 2007, was it a good idea to be buying a home when the market, you know, crashed in the next 2 or 3 years and home prices dropped by 30 or 40%? What's your lifestyle? As you're just saying, for a young person, maybe I shouldn't be owning a home.
Yeah.
What's your career? Maybe your career is best where you can be free so you can keep moving from one city to the next. Hopefully you never do that because who would want to leave the Rouge River area? But, you know, if you want to get moved to Los Angeles and New York and keep going up the radio station food chain, you know, who knows? Maybe you shouldn't own a home.
Yeah. I've already done that. And this is a you know, different stage of my life. I've already worked the big markets before in the past. So you say, though, that
so
home
own a home.
Yeah. Now, in the book, though, home ownership, you say, stifles wealth accumulation. How can that be? How do you say that?
Well, because you just mentioned before, one, it makes you very immobile. So that means you can't, let's say someone gave you some crazy offer to move to Phoenix, Texas, and you said, I'm not interested. But it stops you from taking that bigger job because, as you said, it makes you immobile, number one, kind of locks you into place. And then number two, it also makes you do things that you're not really good at. It makes you be a carpenter and a plumber and an electrician. And oftentimes you can hire those people, and many times they're honest. But sometimes they kind of realize that this guy's a talk show host. I think I can charge him twice as much as he thinks for fixing his windows or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's one of the reasons why. And the second thing is, remember that when you're putting a 20% down payment on a house, you can also take that same money and put it in the stock market or other things. So do you think that the home prices from where they are right now in Medford will rise faster than the stock market? And if you do, okay, great, put it into home. If you don't, though, put it in the stock market.
Okay. All right. On the other hand, rent, by the way, has exploded here in Southwest Oregon, though. So the case for renting is a tough one right now. Or do you think that's only temporary?
Well, that's the kind of thing you need to look at all the time. So across the country now, it's generally speaking, it's cheaper to rent than to own a home right now, given the mortgage payments. Mm-hmm. It's all local, so it depends on, like, in Medford, if it's much less expensive to own a home than rent. Of course, the rent versus buy analysis says, okay, well, I should buy in Medford. But then when it flips around the other direction, maybe you want to sell your home and rent for a bit. So, you know, it's really hard to be thinking about jumping from house to house the way you do with stocks. But I think people should think about whether to buy or rent in a more objective way than they're currently hectored to do by the National Association of Realtors.
Yeah.
By the way, the other part of the book that you might want to know about, and this is a thing that's going to get a lot of realtors calling in and want to come on your show, but this 6% fee to own a home, I'd be a little – very much, by the way, this is also against my self-interest. But this 6% fee to, you know, buy or sell homes, those fees are 2 to 3 times higher than almost anywhere else in the developed world. You know, in the UK, to buy or sell home, it's 1.5%. Same with Scotland, same with Singapore, same with Hong Kong. And it's always the same price, whether the home is a $300,000 home or a $3 million home. It's always a 5.5% fee. Maybe it's 6% in Medford. I don't know exactly. And it's always the same price, whether it's, you know, a first-year associate at Coldwell Bank or a 30-year veteran. And it's always the same price, whether it's a good market or a bad market.
Yeah, so the thing is, though, a realtor ended up, a friend of mine was saying that, hey, listen, that has always been negotiable. Always been negotiable. He's right about that. In fact, it was so negotiable, I just ended up selling my houses myself. I bought and sold myself all the time, really.
What happened now is Zillow just joined the National Association of Realtors. And so what happens now that if you want to list your home on your own, like for sale by owner, then you have to you go into a different tab. It's not an agent tab that gets about 85% less views than the normal tab. And what the agents usually tell people is, okay, you can negotiate my fee from 2.5% to 2%. but you better pay the 3% fee on the buy side, else everyone will steer people away from your home. So that's how the price has stayed 3 or 4 times higher than anywhere else in the developed world.
So the cartel, as you describe it, though, is teetering and cracking right now. What does that future look like, you think?
I think the fees go to zero, and you'll say, how do the fees go to zero? Kind of like TD Ameritrade and Schwab and some of the other people. How does it go to zero? Well, just the way TD Ameritrade gets your money and then they manage it for you in terms of not just the stocks, but, you know, put your deposits there. When you help someone buy or sell a home, they also get a mortgage and they have to get title insurance and escrow insurance. They have to move and they have to manage the house. I think more and more companies are going to start managing the house for you because they can do it less expensively than you can and probably better. And so I think the fees in a free market in the U.S., just like stock trading, go to zero. In fact, that's where Rex was going with our fee structure before Zillow and NAR combined forces to kick us off the homepages of all the websites like Zillow and Chewy and the rest.
Interesting.
Because the fees will go to zero.
I would agree with you, though. One thing I will agree with you wholeheartedly. And by the way, it's Jack Ryan, co-founder of Rex, and the name of the book is Bringing Adam Smith into the American Home, A Case Against Home Ownership. I will assure you, you are absolutely right in which what's happening in today's world is that the middleman, the income of the middleman is under stress. That business model of the middleman is under stress too, right? And that's kind of what you were trying to do with Rex Homes, right?
Exactly. You're so right. And look what's happened to taxi dispatchers. I'm not sure how many there are in Medford, but you know, Uber and Trulia have taken over a lot of that. Same with when I was growing up, there were things called travel agents. I don't know if you guys are young enough to remember this. But
oh, yeah, I can remember it vaguely. But I know that's that's a tough industry to be in right now, right?
Same with stockbrokers. And why? Because the middleman has been taken over by the Internet. All the information is available on the Internet. You can see homes on the Internet, just like you can see stocks or whatever, or travel. You can see the prices. You can make your own decisions about the prices. The contracts are on the Internet. It's easy to do it all yourself nowadays. So just like every other middleman, nothing unique about real estate brokers, in a free market, that fee is going to go down to pretty much zero.
And so how do you end up paying people if someone is really working your property hard and really selling hard for you? Is it going to be going to more of just a flat fee in which someone says, hey, I mean, I'll hire you to market my home for, you know, $1,500 or something like that? Is that the way it's going to be or
it could. It'll be a whole diversity of different business models, just like happened in the stock brokerage business. It used to be there's probably, you know, 5 people in downtown Medford that had corner offices that said they E.F. Hutton or someone like that down in downtown Medford. And then we'll still do it that way. There's some who work through Schwab because they can buy stocks themselves and don't need advisors. There's some people who will take all of your wealth and say, I'll charge you 1% a year, and I don't care if you trade or don't trade shares or bonds or whatever else. So what's going to happen is a full diversity of different business models, including people who say, I'm still worth the old 5.5% because I'm so good at it, and they will be. And you'll be happy to pay them the 5.5%. But there'll be a lot more choices than there are right now.
That's interesting. I wonder if the people that are going to be able to still charge the 5-6 and the broker's fees and everything else, maybe those will be the ones that handle the whale properties, which sometimes really are difficult to move, aren't they? So, some of the bigger ones, right?
Yes, exactly. And so I'm speaking in broad terms only because, you know, we only can talk for a little bit, although I'm glad to stay on forever. But, yes, it's going to be, you know, the people who are really good at selling those really big properties that takes a lot of salespersonship. Yes, it's, of course, they'll be able to charge more and they'll be very good at it and they'll be worth the money. But if it's like a 600-foot single bedroom condo, I mean, what does the agent really do? Say, hey, here's the kitchen. Like, I know that.
Yeah, the 800 square foot crap shack, right? That's not going to that's not going to be the 6%. Someone will buy that right away, I would imagine, right?
Well, I don't know what the agent's going to do. Like, here's the bathroom. Yeah, I know that's the bathroom. Thank you very much for the information. You know, so I think there's going to be a whole diversity of different business models that will break through, and some will be at the same old fees, and some will be like Schwab at zero. And that's what's going to happen.
I would definitely say here, Jack, that we are definitely looking at disruption in all sorts of industries, and real estate is another big one too, another big one. And I'm going to read this book. I'm going to read your book, and I probably have you back on it, but I just wanted to get kind of the basic overall take on this first. And the name of the book is Bringing Adam Smith into the American Home, A Case Against Home Ownership. Jack Ryan is the co-founder of Rex, the digital alternative to the realtor. And I'm going to get all into that, and I'll have you back. And I appreciate a little look at that, okay? You take care.
It's fun talking with you.
All right. Thank you very much, Jack. Jack Ryan, it is 826 at KMED, KCMD.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Rentier Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer. Discounted Oregon e-deal certificates good for a whopping $75 off any service. Whether it's a routine checkup, oil change, brake repair, or full-on engine overhaul, trust the expert technicians to get the job done right. Visit OregonEDeals.com to snag your discounted certificate. Drive in. Save big. American Rentier Garage, across from Elmer's on Biddle.
Join me, Stan Mapolsky, at Grange Co-op in White City this Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon, as I broadcast The Rogue Gardener live during Grange's Planting Day. Grange Co-op will plant your beautiful spring plants and flowers with free G&B organic soil and fertilizer. Buy your pots at the Grange or bring your own, a maximum of 20 inches in diameter and a limit of 3 per person. So get your plants planted and listen to The Rogue Gardener live Saturday, 10 to noon, on location for Planting Day at the White City Grange Co-op.
2x4, 2x8, who do we appreciate? Hughes Lumber, Hughes Lumber. Tweedledee, Tweedledum, the carpenter just hit his thumb. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, what lumberyard has the best repertoire? Hughes Lumber, Hughes Lumber. Mary had a little lamb, but it needed fencing from the ram. She also needed a brand new barn, but only one company has the charm. So when it comes to lumber, what's your choice? Say Hughes Lumber and rejoice on Crater Lake Highway, Hughes Lumber.
Honestly, provocative talk radio on the Lars Larson Show.
For a long time, about the last 3 years, I've been saying that Joe Biden's border jumpers have been invading America. No matter who you believe, it's at least millions and millions of illegal aliens. Some estimates say north of 10 million illegals have come into this country. But when I say invasion, most of these people you see are just trudging across the border.
Lars, catch them live noon to 3 on KMED and KCMD. 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
Markets have been under pressure this morning here. Gold and silver still looking like a silver drop just slightly this morning. It's kind of market noise at this point, about 27.85, 23.38 an ounce for gold. And Mr. Gold is continuing to rally. The miners are continuing to rally. It's just an interesting time. And, you know, this is about an indicator that the feds and the federal government really losing control of the budgeting process and losing control of a lot of things. Might be a good idea to have some physical gold and silver as part of your hedging plan there, a portion of what you're doing. I'm not talking about being a gold bug. I'm not one of those guys. But whether you're looking to buy, sell, trade, sell banknotes, other collectible items, diamonds, platinum, you know, talk to the recognized experts. Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers, Ashland at 1632 Ashland Street, and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. These are the people that are going to treat you well, and I think you'll find a lot of values in common between Mark and Andrea and the crew and you. That's the way they work at Jay Austin. They never bent the knee during the COVID thing. They opened. They were always there for the customer. They'll always be there for you. Gosh, they've always been there for my listeners here. Been one of my oldest sponsors ever. Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers. Call 482-3715. Drop by 1632 Ashland Street, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. And jayaustinbrokers.com. You can also find out more about them online at their portal there, fortunereserve.com. But go visit the store. See it. Feel it. Touch it. Talk with them. Good people to know at Jay Austin. Brad, your ears were burning, I'll bet, when I was talking with the fellow from Rex Homes and trying to convince people that the case against homeownership is strong in some cases. What are you thinking?
Yeah. Well, you know, he didn't go to Oregon public schools like I did, Bill, and where we learned that you know, simple interest increasing over time is more valuable than these, you know. He talks about gambling on the stock market like it's the same as improving home equity, and that's just silly. That's a silly argument. It sounds like his biggest beef is really with realtors' commissions. Mm-hmm. That's a different discussion. But
they have been cartelly in behavior in a long time, just by force of numbers. I think it's very good. You know, you joined it. You know.
Yeah, well, I mean, every industry tries to add value, and then they try to sell that value added to whatever customer they're selling it to. But the main thing here is, and I sent you the link to it, A study by HUD Secretary Ben Carson showed that the average net worth of a homeowner was $200,000 and the average net worth of a renter was $5,000. And because I went to Oregon Public School, I know that's $195,000. So the reality is you cannot find a piece of improved property that's worth less today than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. You know, using the old example of the house that my wife and I bought after we got married in 1977, when we closed escrow in September of 1977 on that $25,000 house, you go look at it today, and that same house has a market value of $334,000.
Agreed. And I get that. And he is right, though, that at certain stages of life, it's not maybe necessarily the wisest thing. Because I will tell you, as someone who has had to sell homes in duress, and I had to do this because of a job change and other things like that. There was a divorce and things like that. I took it in the shorts. I really did. I mean, I've made money on homes that I stayed in and was there for a while, and I lost my shirt on other ones. So he's right about that. He's right about that. It's not the same for everyone. If you're moving around from place to place to place, unless you're going to stay in a place for a while, maybe it's not the best idea. But this to try to condition everybody into just a renter society, and that the house is a consumable item. And you know, and that's kind of where he's going. That's not always right either. And
if you're gonna stay in the same place for four or more years, buying is a better strategy.
Unless you bought in 2006, okay? Let's be honest. You know, because I remember, and I'm going to tell you right now, Brad. I got the member berries from from South Park. If you ever saw that cartoon,
yeah.
But you know, I remember when essentially I had cocktail waitresses. They were giving me real estate tips there, and people that were saying just buy a house, doesn't matter what kind of thing, buy a house. And then they got killed in 07 as we lost 30. What didn't we lose about 35% of the market over the 2-3 years of that?
Yeah, I think we're closer to 40%, and it was 2000, right? If you're talking about how long it took the real estate market to recover, there's different price points for different areas, but yeah, that was a bloodbath. But
yeah. and a lot of the price rising that we're seeing is also due to the financialization of the United States economy, in which we're trying to make everything a commodity. Like BlackRock trying to buy up all the single-family homes so that they just rent them to us all for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right?
So anyways, it sounds like his main beef is with realtor's fees. But I wanted to say thank you for bringing up the county budget, $640 million. We have the best-managed county in Oregon, and yet our budget continues to go up. Bill, somewhere on your show, at some point in time, you're going to, and I know you're going to do this because you pay attention to the details, you are going to be having a robust discussion on the economic impacts of Measure 111. Now, Measure 111 passed back in 2022, not a lot of attention, but this is the initiative that guaranteed a legal right to health care in the state of Oregon, first of its kind in the United States.
That's right.
And even though it passed, it's just sort of been flying under the radar because it's in rulemaking. And I'm telling you something that you already know. When this guaranteed right to health care, when it manifests the gigantic bureaucratic mess that it's going to be, when this thing comes out of the ground, it's going to be an economic impact that's going to be driving all kinds of communities into serious concern.
Yeah, and you're going to see that reflected in the budget. But I'm going to tell you how guaranteed health care will end up playing out. All right? Look to Canada, look to the UK, and this whole idea that you're going to be able to just call up your doctor and get a scan because you think you found a lump and you're going to get that looked at right away. Forget about it, buddy. This is the final nail in the coffin, in which they take Obamacare and they morph it into the single payer here in the state of Oregon. You know, there is no unlimited source of money, as you well know. There's not unlimited pile of money. So it is going to be a total rationing of care. That's
it's going to be an economic nuclear bomb going off in the state of Oregon.
And so I'm just going to tell you, Brad, whatever it takes to do it, be healthy. If you're healthy, stay healthy. If you're unhealthy right now, do your best to get healthy. Because where they want to take it, you know, the tender mercies of the state, we already have versions of the death panels here in the state of Oregon. We already have that right now in the current situation, in which they talk about the standard of care being of, okay, well, how many years do you have left, Brad? Yeah, we could fix you and maybe put an give you a defib in there because you have some heart rhythm. I'm just using you as an example. I don't know if you have these problems or not, and I'm just teasing. You understand? Just using you as an example.
I'm relentlessly healthy for some reason.
Good. Glad to hear it, okay? But it'll be one of those things where, let's say you have a bit of arrhythmia, and you have a problem there, and you need a defib machine implanted in you and things like that. And then you'll have the tender mercies of the Oregon Health Authority, you know, the fine progressives there that would be saying, you know, according to this, the number of years left that you have are quality, maybe only 4 or 5 years. It's not really cost effective to take care of what you need because you might not live that long, even though you could go 10 or 15 or more, right? That sort of thing. And so you're rejected for this. That's the way it will play out.
Can you imagine what it's going to do to inbound immigration when the word gets out across the United States that all you have to do is get inside the border of Oregon and any health care need that you have is going to be paid for when you come to Oregon? Can you imagine what that's going to do to inbound?
Everyone eating from the same medical pie. What could go wrong? Okay.
What could go wrong?
All right. Thanks for the call, Brad. 770-5633. Open phones here on the Bill Myers Show. It's Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Jump on it. If you've been waiting to get in, now's the time.
2x4, 2x8. Who do we appreciate? Hughes Lumber. Hughes Lumber. Tweedledee. Tweedledum. The carpenter just hit his thumb. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. What lumberyard has the best repertoire? Hughes Lumber. Hughes Lumber. Mary had a little lamb, but it needed fencing from the ram. She also needed a brand new barn. But only one company has the charm. So when it comes to lumber, what's your choice? Say Hughes Lumber and rejoice on Crater Lake Highway. Hughes Lumber.
News sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Serna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. A federal judge has sided with the city of Medford in a lawsuit challenging the city's camping ordinance. In 2021, a Medford lawyer filed a lawsuit against the city on behalf of several homeless individuals after the city council approved a new camping ordinance. After the judge ruled the city's law is legal, the city of Medford said it was pleased with the ruling. Then a woman accused of starting a fire at a West Medford home last week has been deemed unfit to stand trial. After her court hearing Tuesday, Candace Hastings is set to be transported to the state hospital for mental health treatment. The fire on April 2nd started on the porch of the home on Noragan Street. Since Hastings was charged with Measure 11 crime, she could spend up to a year at the state hospital. And a recent order from a federal judge has changed the way the state approaches treating people who are not fit to stand trial. In Oregon, the maximum time a person can be held at the state hospital is 3 years, but the new federal ruling overrides the state statutes and only allows the state to hold people who are unfit to stand trial for a maximum of 1 year. That maximum is also only for people who are accused of committing serious felonies. For misdemeanor, a person can only be held at the hospital for 90 days. For local news anytime, head on over to our website, KOBI5.com, or our Facebook page. That's a look at your morning headlines. For NBC5 News, I'm Natalie Serna. Have a great day.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
If you're turning 65 soon and need to learn about Medicare and your options for supplemental coverage, Lynn at Sky Park Insurance can help. Just ask Karen.
Hi, I spent 45 plus years in the health industry, so I wanted someone with expert knowledge. Lynn either knew the answer or got right back to me with details. She went the extra mile. Thanks, Lynn.
SkyPark makes Medicare enrollment easy. Enroll or review your plan with Lynn Barton at SkyPark Insurance. Call 541-499-0958.
Fontana Roofing metal roof customers are always thrilled with the results, but there could be a downside for certain homeowners. Here's a confidential conversation captured en route to a job site.
You know, these metal roofs are pretty popular, but I suppose they do have some disadvantages.
Oh, come on. Really? For instance?
Well, if you actually enjoy replacing your roof, you may not get a second chance since metal typically lasts 40 to 70 years.
Oh, yeah, that's a real bummer.
And they reflect UV and infrared rays, which can save up to 25% in cooling costs.
Point taken. Everybody knows we need to support the power company as much as possible.
Plus, they're fire resistant, they can sustain wind gusts, and are pretty low maintenance.
Wow. Who wants to get a good night's sleep knowing all of that?
The responsible thing is to be upfront with the facts and let our customers decide.
Agreed.
Call Fontana Roofing for full disclosure regarding their metal roofs. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
NBC5 News is now on Cozy TV every night at 10. Here's how to find it. If you're on Spectrum, tune to channel 188. If you're receiving NBC5 over the air, tune to 5.2. And you can stream NBC5 News on Cozy at klbi5.com. Need help finding Cozy? Our engineers will answer your questions. Just call us. NBC5 News is now on Cozy TV every night at 10. Visit klbi5.com for a complete list of available platforms.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
Conspiracy Theory Thursday phone calls. Always love it. 8:42. Let me go to Andrew. Andrew, you had a question about property taxes and voting. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I just don't see why my property taxes get increased by voters who don't pay property taxes. A little bit silly.
Oh, so you're actually thinking that the only people who are voting on property tax measures should be people who own property. And I would be the first to agree with you. I want to actually give you a real American salute for actually paying attention to the slow motion crime that happens. But you know what goes on here, Andrew. This is all about one man, one vote. Everybody gets a chance to have say, and your property is my property if I want it. And government wants your property, and it's much easier to pass property. See, property tax rates would not go up if it was voted on only by property owners, right? And so you have to open it to everybody. All right? There we go.
Yeah. I mean, I get that, but then again, you know, that new sports complex in Medford there, I paid, my property taxes help fund that, but I don't get to go use it for free, do I?
No, you don't. But, communism is always very popular with the people who don't end up paying most of the bill. All right? So there you go. Let me go. If you feel really cynical after a while, Dave's here. Dave, go ahead. You wanted to talk about Captain Bill's deal.
Hmm? Yeah, I think it was a real good report. And I want to say it's a real excrement sandwich, what's happening. But remember, it's always insurance. It's always insurance that when a big contractor pulls out of a job. That's just my experience.
That's an interesting point. Thanks for making it, Dave. Let me go to Tom. Tom's in talent. Tom, take it away. What are you saying?
Well, just on your previous call there, yeah, renters don't know it, but they paid the property tax, too. They just, because they're lied to and they're dumb, they just go along with the OLA.
Exactly. Well, all they do is see the upside because they don't see it directly. It's indirectly. And they'll say, well, yeah, you're paying it indirectly, which is true, but you are not legally obligated to pay it, unlike the person who owns the property. That's all.
Yeah, so my main call here is I wanted to thank you for doing the fact-checking of the fact-checkers, because I think the biggest thing going on these days is that we're lied to so much and from mis-dis and uninformation, and kind of backing it up was the first Brad that called earlier today about not knowing that the clot shots causes clots, and this has been well-known for 3 or 4 years now,
but totally repressed outside of many places. You just couldn't do it.
Yeah, and so this has been well known, but only in the alternative media. And you know, if people don't know the truth, they can't really make very good decisions. And we're seeing the lies, you know, with the voting coming up here on the you know, commissioners and so forth. There's so much lying going on, and it's really behooves everyone to really look more deeply into every issue. I don't care whether climate crisis or whatever it is, but really to put on their critical thinking hat and just look at issues much more deeply than what you're getting from the mainstream non-news.
Yep. Appreciate the call as always. And we'll always take this opportunity to, not for just you, and I know you put an argument in the voters' pamphlet against the three measures in Jackson County, and I appreciate you doing that because you got involved and you put your skin in the game, okay? Good job there.
You bet.
All right.
Carry on.
Yep, I put one in there too. And all three of the charter change measures, you must vote no on those. Josephine County, your abomination, 17-116, also must be voted no, and you must to explain to friends why. These are intrusions that need to be fought. Let me go to Matt. Hello, Matt. Go ahead.
On real estate, well, I want to say a couple things. I'm a stock guy. I'm not a real estate guy. Mm-hmm. First thing, too many people treated their home like an ATM in, you know, leading up to the financial crisis. That was a big issue.
Well, look at how many people were told that. Look at all of that unused equity and put that to work, right? That's what they would do.
And it was a huge mistake because, as I forget who pointed it out, we were talking to the builder guy, but, you know, if you jump, I think you brought up, if you jump in at the wrong time and you said you've gotten the short end of the stick a few times, then you can get hosed. My dad was a real estate agent for like 40 years because something that was really smart. He said, if you want to figure out whether you're closer to a top or a bottom in real estate markets, just look at the number of MLS listings, if you can get a hold of that. And if you notice, you know, all of a sudden there's an increase in a lot of homes for sale, you're getting very near a top. When you notice that you can see that number in the opposite direction, you're getting near a bottom. And so people end up on the wrong side of it. But I'm very pro real estate for this reason. Your house is the place where you live.
Yep.
It's not an investment. If you have several houses, that's different. But if you own one house, I never changed my philosophy from, you know, going back to what I was taught. Your house is where you live. And the idea is that you pay the mortgage, whether it's a 15 or a 30, you pay the house off so that in your retirement, you're not making a house payment and you don't have a rent payment. Now, I understand the argument that the author was making and that, oh, you become a plumber, you become an electrician, you mm-hmm. become all these things. The most important part when you get to retirement, when I was a stockbroker, I used to tell people this all the time. I'd sit down with them the first time, and they would lay out their bills. When I was a new broker, I was blown away, and this is going back to the early 90s, how in debt people are. And until they sat down with me, these were people in their 50s, even they didn't realize how bad it was. I'd pull out a piece of paper and start writing it down. 2-3 car payments, a boat payment, jet ski payment, house payment, insurance, one kid in college, 2 kids in high school. And when I started laying it out, you should see the look on their faces. They are freaking out. They're like, oh my God, we're going to work till we die.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even have to say anything. An important, one of the most important parts about that retirement planning is you have to have a house that's paid for. That should be the goal. You eliminate that cost for yourself for the rest of your life. And it's also something you can leave behind. I want to point out, too, in regards to investing, that point that guy made is ridiculous, that you can take a 20% down payment and stick it in the stock market. The stock market is very volatile, okay? I know it. I'm in it. When you buy a house, it's a forced, long-term buy and hold.
Yep.
I would say that 90% of people, wherever you live in the world, are better off being forced into buying that house and having to keep it for 15 or 30 years. Because housing has provided more millionaires in this country than any other investment.
There's also another aspect of this, too, is a community stability and cohesiveness from home ownership that does not come from the rental culture. Sorry, it's the way it goes.
We talked about that. You go into a neighborhood full of renters, it is not the same as going into a neighborhood full of homeowners. Full of homeowners.
Because the people who are renting don't feel like they have skin in the game of the neighborhood. Just the way it is. Matt, good call as always. All right, it's 8:50. It's almost out of time. I'm going to grab maybe a call or two, and then we're going to do the Diner 62 quiz. Hi there. Who's this? Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Super Dave off in Iona, Idaho.
Dave, fire away. What are you thinking?
Well, I tell you what, quickly, just listen to Matt. You could do a segment with him, just like the car guy.
Mm-hmm.
He is a very interesting cat. I really enjoy listening to him.
I do, too.
Now, the reason I called in. So, we have the people who rent complaining or that they don't pay property taxes. Actually, they're not complaining. They don't pay property taxes. Actually, they are paying property taxes because as a landlord, you're collecting that. If you don't pay your property taxes as a landlord, they won't have a house to live in.
But there are times that a landlord loses money on property, too, so they don't always get it flushed out. You don't always make money on it. Okay.
That is correct. The same with corporations that go out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone says corporations need to pay more taxes. All a corporation is a tax collector from the people who buy their products. What we need is smaller government, but nobody wants to go down that road.
Well, we're probably going to be forced to go down that road one way or the other, looking at the rate of inflation and the money coming in. Dave, it's great to hear from you in the land of the free in Idaho, okay? Keep calling. Hi there. Who's this? Good morning.
Hey, Bill, it's Lucretia.
Lucretia, what do you got?
Well, gosh, now that Biden's pissing off China, too, as well as Russia, people are very worried about being nuked. And I want to talk about a new book that's out, Hiroshima Revisited,
mm-hmm.
by a doctor, Michael Palmer. You can look it up on YouTube. He also has free access to look at all his documentation.
Good.
But we clearly know we didn't nuke Japan and Hiroshima and Nagasaki. He shows that we didn't have the technology in his book. He also shows we napalmed it. We hit it with mustard gas. And we also hit it with some kind of black oil that if you were picking up moving bodies, it would destroy the capillaries.
Well, I got to tell you, Lucretia, that is a conspiracy theory Thursday. So we napalmed it instead of nuking him. Great. What's the name of the book? And so people can take a look at it and say what they think. So
yeah,
I got,
he's a really amazing doctor, really beautiful person.
Yeah. Do you believe everyone you read? Just curious.
Well, listening to him, he sounds absolutely legit. He was a medical doctor, biologist.
Yeah, I'm sure Bernie Madoff sounded really good to the people that were in early, too. Just warning, okay?
Well, I'm just saying, he woke up in 2016, saw that 9/11 wasn't what it was. When they wanted to vax him, he's like, hey, this doesn't have any safety.
Okay, all right. Give me the name of the book real quick, because I'm out of time. I'm out of time.
Hiroshima Revisited.
Thank you. Hiroshima Revisited. Thank you, Lucretia. And on that note, I'm going to end the calls because we're going to do the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. It's a great quiz question. We have a $20 gift certificate for you from Diner 62, which is just an amazing, amazing roadside diner just south of White City. You will love the food. Tomorrow, of course, is Clam Chowder Friday. It's homemade there too. Yeah. Get a cup or a bowl to go, and you'll just really enjoy that. And also a bunch of other specials, including two pork chops and an egg or an 8-ounce New York steak and eggs on special right now. Crispy chicken sandwiches are wonderful. Just added back to the menu. Jump on at 770-5633. Best of luck to you next. Oh, wait a minute. I hit the wrong button. Now.
There's a lot of places where the chicken fried steak is overrated. Diner 62 is not one of those places.
One of each. Forte VIN 770-783 MSRP 21645 3500 due. Sol VIN 235213 MSRP 22210 3500 due. 10K miles per year. Zero security deposit. All incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title, license. 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance. Ends 4/30/24.
Making payments on a car you don't want to drive anymore? You need Kia Medford's payment wipeout. We're wiping out all the payments you have left on your old car so you can drive a new Kia. Like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $149 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Get into a new Kia like Fortes or Souls. Your choice, just $149 a month during the payment wipeout at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Voting is in progress for Bicoastal Media's Best of Southern Oregon contest presented by Dusty's Transmissions. Go to bestofsouthernoregon.com and vote on over 1,000 businesses that were nominated in nearly 200 categories. You're able to vote for all of your favorites once per day, so visit bestofsouthernoregon.com and help the best suppliers of goods and services win the gold and silver medals by voting every day through Wednesday, April 24th at 5 p.m. Good luck to all those nominated from Dusty's Transmissions and Bicoastal Media.
Hi, this is Mark from Jay Austin, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
How does it feel? How does it feel, indeed? The Diner 62 Real American Quiz. Let's see if we can get Renee to work on some Bob Den... Make that... Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan, how are you doing this morning, Renee? Good to have you on. Welcome.
Good. Thank you. Good.
Well, Renee, it was today, April 11th, 1961, that Bob Dylan plays his first major concert at, I think it's Gertie's in New York City. Gertie's Folk City, most the important folk music place in New York City at the time. The club that every folk with a national profile ended up playing when they were in town. Dylan previously joined other unknowns like himself during the club's Monday Hootenanny night, but the invitation to appear on a regular bill presented a bit of an administrative problem. Because at the age of 19, Bob was too young to get the union card and the cabaret license. Well, one of the club owners, Mike Porco, interested enough in getting the young man on the bill. And he signed on as Dylan's guardian, the Sicilian father I never knew, as Bob Dylan put it. So the question this morning, Renee, is who did Bob Dylan open for at the gig? Was it A, Woody Guthrie, B, Joan Baez, C, Peter, Paul, and Mary, D, Pete Seeger, or was it E, John Lee Hooker? What do you think?
Number one.
Woody Guthrie makes the most sense, right? Even did blown on the... Oh. No, wasn't that. Sorry. Let me go to Jerry. Hello, Jerry the Bull. Not Woody Guthrie.
Hey,
it's Joan Baez, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Pete Seeger, or John Lee Hooker. Who did Bob Dylan open for that night?
I'll go with John Lee Hooker.
John Lee Hooker.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yep.
I'm gonna shoot you right down.
You are absolutely right. Jerry the Bull, you win this. And when Bob Dylan played his first major gig, he opened for John Lee Hooker. Bob had just arrived in town a few months earlier, but as the predominant producer, talent scout John Hammond, would write in the liner notes of his debut album, the young man from the provinces began to make friends very quickly in New York, all the while continuing, as he has since 10, to assimilate musical ideas from everyone he met and every record he did hear. Now, Dylan did befriend not only his idol Woody Guthrie, whose hospitalization in New Jersey had been the initial impetus for Dylan to come east from Minnesota, but also many of the other significant figures on the downtown folk scene, all right? So good stuff, and you're going to Diner 62, Jerry. I don't know if that was a good guess or you knew it, but congratulations, all right? 8:58 and change. Find your phone Friday. I'll be on tomorrow. By the way, my email, bill@billmeyershow.com. We'll have fun tomorrow, too.